May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So how many of you remember your baptism? Show of hands. God, not... So how many of you were baptized as children, as infants? And how many as adults? Wow. So two out of all of you were baptized as adults. So were any of you from the Baptist tradition? Are there any Baptists in the house? Because Baptists, of course, don't believe in infant baptism. They don't believe that children should be baptized. They believe that baptism is an adult thing. They look at the scriptures and they look at Jesus' baptism and they look at John the Baptist and they say the people who came to be baptized, they were adults. And it was a serious business. They were making a serious adult commitment to faith. They were repenting of their sins, turning their backs on their former lives, and committing themselves to the radical call of Jesus, to love their neighbor as themselves, and to serve God and make God the center of their lives. It's a radical act of commitment. And the Baptists say, how can a baby do this? This is the work of an adult, of a grown-up. But those of us from the Episcopal tradition and others who embrace child baptism, and I have to say, I was baptized in the Church of England as an infant, and I'll give you one guess of the name of the church I was baptized in. St. Andrew's. St. Andrew's in Stoke Newington in North London. And not only that, my parents who just left college, they lived in the flat of the vicarage. So I never stood a chance in many ways. But those of us who embrace infant baptism, we point to other parts of the Holy Scriptures. And we say that while it's true that Jesus was an adult when he was baptized, very quickly within the Christian tradition, whole households and infants were being baptized. We learned that in the Acts of the Apostles, when St. Paul baptized the wealthy woman Lydia, he didn't just baptize Lydia, who was the head of her household. She baptized everybody in her house. And when St. Paul baptized Stephanus, which we hear about in the Acts, in the letter to the Corinthians, again, we hear that the whole of his household were baptized. His wife, his children, his slaves, his servants, everyone who lived in the household were baptized because that household was now a Christian household. And what sense would it have made for the head of the household to say, I am a Christian, but the rest of my family is not? Everyone in the household was embraced by Christ and sanctified by Christ. But we, I think, I'm sure, can see both sides of the argument. We can understand this, the emphasis that the Baptists put on adults making a baptismal vows. And we can also understand the argument that says the whole household should be baptized. And in a sense, our tradition recognizes this in that we ask children who were baptized and had the vows taken on their behalf to confirm those vows in their confirmation. They confirm the vows when they're 13, and there are many in the church who say that the confirmation should take place much later, at kind of 18 or 20 or 21, when those kids actually can affirm for themselves these serious vows. And also the church has rewritten when they rewrote the prayer book, they changed the baptism service. In the older prayer book, the emphasis was very much on infant baptism. But as we'll see in our baptismal service today, the default position of baptism is now that of an adult, although you can also baptize children using the same rite. Now, yesterday, we saw Mia take vows of being a priest at the beautiful service we had yesterday. And as she knelt here in front of the bishop and made those sacred and intense vows surrounded by priests laying their hands on her, I was looking out at the congregation and thinking that while Mia was making some particular vows about her calling from God to a particular role of being a priest. As I looked out at all of you, I thought, all of us in this gathered body have made vows and have calls from God. All of us have made vows or had vows made upon us at our baptism. And those baptismal vows are much more important than the vows that me and Margaret and Mia and Karen Budney took when we became priests. The vows of baptism are elemental and deep. And each of you are called, each and every one of you are called to live into those vows in the particular way that God is calling you as individuals. You make these general and sacred vows, but each of us has a calling. Each of us has something to do to make God's kingdom real and alive in this world. I'd like us to turn to our prayer books, to turn to page 301 in those prayer books. Where's my prayer book? What have I done with it? It's up here. Oh, yeah. Later on, in a few minutes, we're going to say these vows or hear these vows said at Kai's baptism. But I want us to focus on the serious nature of these vows and to think about what they mean for us. On page 302, there are some vows that Kai's godparents are going to make on his behalf. But you'll notice if you're an adult, you would have made these vows on yourselves. And we're going to go through these and just think about them. And think about what they're saying to you in your life. And when I say them, you know, give the responses. Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? I renounce them. Do you renounce the evil powers of this world, which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? I renounce them. Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? I renounce them. Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? I do. Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love? I do. And do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord? I do. These are vows of renunciation, but on the next page, we say vows of affirmation, vows about how we intend to lead our lives. So turn to page 304. And at the bottom of the page, we're going to say the vows, the second set of vows in the baptismal covenant. Again, think about these vows. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread and in the prayers? I will, with God's help. Will you persevere in resisting evil? And whenever you fall into sin and repent and return to the Lord, I will, with God's help. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? I will, with God's help. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? I will, with God's help. Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? I will, with God's help. Mia and Margaret and I and Karen, our vocation from God is this narrow vocation of being priests of the church. But each of you has this calling, and it's most likely that your calling has nothing to do with your job. It might do, although any use of your time to serve other people is a precious use of God's time. But your particular calling may be something completely different. And it may vary through your life. At one stage in your life, it may be one thing. At another stage, it's something else. But it's all about these sacred vows that we've made before God. And if you're not living up to your vows, and if you're not seeking to fulfill them, you're not helping God's kingdom. You're not helping peace and love to flourish in the world. Mia and I were talking about baptism preparation, and I was saying to her how lousy I am at it. And so she was giving me some... She was talking about one of her clergy friends, who's the assistant priest over at Church of the Redeemer in Chestnut Hill, Emilia Garcia. And she was mentioning a particular question that Emily asks families and parents when they do baptism preparation. And I've been really struck by this question, and I've been really dwelling upon it for myself. And in fact, I've made it's my kind of New Year's resolution is to kind of dwell with this particular question. And the question is, what evil would you like to protect, in this case, Kai from? What evil thing is it that you like to protect Kai from? And the question I'm wrestling with in my own soul is, you know, what particular evil or temptation do I want to overcome in my life for this at this period and this and going forward? And so I invite you to think about that question as well, to dwell upon that and think about, is there one particular thing as we enter into 2020 that you need to overcome so that you can live more fully into these vows that you have made or will be made for you? Amen.